Good afternoon. This is a work session on Senate Bill 5526. We will go ahead and receive instructions from Legislative and Fiscal Office.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Subcommittee. Senate Bill 5526 is the budget bill for the Housing and Community Services Department. It's been a while since this has been before you. There have been several discussions taking place in the last several months. I have distributed to you a four-page memo with the LFO recommendations on it, also a eight-page spreadsheet with the details of those recommendations, and with the permission of the chair, just like start going through those recommendations.
Please, if you would, Rick, and again, we apologize for the extended period of time, and we know that members of the Department of Housing and Community Services have been in committee meeting all morning this morning. We saw your picture on the news there, on the good TV station there, so we'll, if you'll just bear with us, we'll try and get you out of here as quick as we can.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Subcommittee, we'll start with the current service level. If you go to these spreadsheets, the first three pages talk about current service level. We have taken the recommended, the usual PERS rate reduction that you've been seeing in other budgets. Package 020 reflects reductions for one-time costs, including energy deregulation special payments of a little over $7 million, and also $2 million from the farm worker housing that was approved during the last session. Those were one-time expenditures. Those have been removed from the current service level. And then in package 030, we've made adjustments for the Attorney General's rate reduction, state government service charge reduction, telecommunications. You'll see we took $250,000 out there in telecommunications. That's been, line item was over budgeted during the current biennium, and so in discussions with the agency, we came up with that, reached that number. And then also, if you're looking at page 3 of 7 on the spreadsheets, package 030, you'll see there's a reduction to other services and supplies. Actually, LFO is recommending that be changed to capital outlay reductions of $300,000.
What's the package number?
030. We're on current service level on this, in the front of this. But on the spreadsheet, it's on page 3 of 7.
So is that the reduction, other than service and supplies, is reduction of capital outlay?
$300,000, other funds. So the numbers won't change. It's just the category.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Ringel's recognized.
Thank you. If I could just ask you about package 020 and the energy deregulation special payment. Could you, is this what we were discussing yesterday about having funds backfilled from 1149?
Not yet.
Okay.
We're not to that point. This was actually energy deregulation money began in the 9901 biennium, but it came to the emergency board too late to be included in the current service level budget. And so that's why you see that amount of money from the emergency board being reduced out of the current service level. And then we'll get back to that issue in a moment.
Okay.
So LFO is recommending the current service level be approved at $13,998,546 general fund, $1,317,940 lottery funds, $34,073,142 other funds, and $66,595,875 federal funds.
Are there any questions relative to Legislative Fiscal's recommendation related to the current service level of the department? Senator Yee?
LFO did not name non-limited other funds. That's part of the
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, that's not part of the limitation that we establish in here. That's why it's non-limited. That's for the revolving loan fund and so forth.
As are the $153 million of non-limited federal.
Right.
Okay. Representative Patridge?
Mr. Chair, I move
The general fund allocation of $13,998,546. Lottery funds of $1,317,940. Other funds limitation of $34,073,142. And the federal funds limitation of $66,595,875 with 118.13 FTE.
You've heard the legislative fiscal officer recommendation and the motion. Is there any discussion? Any dissenting votes? Hearing and seeing none. So ordered. Current service level.
Now we'll move into the policy package. The first is package 090, program reductions. And this is where we get into the issue that Representative Ringel was talking about. Legislative fiscal office is... You'll see in the governor's recommended budget a $1.4 million general fund reduction. The governor's recommended budget included taking those general funds out of the housing development and guarantee account and putting those into the homeless, the housing development and homeless assistance program for homeless assistance uses. And that is reflected down in package 110 down below. Legislative fiscal office is recommending that that we go ahead and move that 1.4 million general fund. In addition, legislative fiscal office is recommending that we let the committee reduce the housing program by $3,391,587 general fund, and putting that into a special emergency allocation, special purpose appropriation of the emergency fund, with the intent that the energy deregulation money would be used for those purposes that these funds would have been used for. And the reason that it's put into a special purpose appropriation fund is that in case those energy deregulations do not materialize, the agency could come back to the emergency board and request these funds to be used.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Johnson's recognized.
I know that this public purposes fund is just coming into being and they're going through their organizing processes. They have a board, and that board is charged with certain fiduciary responsibilities for the care and management of a separate legal entity, a 501c3. How is it that the legislature is able to appropriate any of their money without at least an acknowledgement that that board is in concurrence with this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, this is a public purpose charge that is established in statute under Senate Bill 1149 during the 1999 legislative session. This is a separate pot of money.
This is apart from the money that goes into what is commonly called public purposes that's administered as a 501c3.
This is 3%.
This is the 3% public purpose charge. These monies are generated from that.
The longer I talk, the worse I'm confusing myself. I thought the 3% was what was administered by the separate not-for-profit.
I don't believe that's... I'm
perfectly happy to be corrected. I just am looking for understanding here.
Representative Patrick.
Mr. Chair, my understanding is that there are funds that we put money in 1149 last time that immediately went into effect that was, I don't know, about 16 cents. I think it was like 16 cents or something on everyone's bill. My understanding is this is those monies? No? Okay. Then maybe the agency needs to explain.
Whose money is this?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Gina Rana, with Oregon Housing and Community Services. Senate Bill 1149 actually carved up several different pots. And the public purpose, actually the energy assistance that's the surcharge on bills, isn't generally considered or referred to as public purpose. So that's separate. Then there was...
Wait, say that again. I didn't understand.
You said the... Yeah.
there's an energy assistance surcharge that's on people's bills that is not generally considered as a part of the public purpose fund. It's something that's already being collected. We've already got a problem program going, and we've served probably 10,000, 11,000 people with that so far.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Bob Riesbein, Director of Oregon Housing Community Services. The amount that you're talking about is 5% of that 13%. That's what we get.
Mr. Chair.
3%, 5%.
Respectfully, could we go back and hear where the three pots are before we start carving it up? For some of us that weren't here the last time, I would just appreciate the education and knowing where those bits are and what things are called.
Well, and I apologize. I don't have Senate Bill 1149 in front of me, and it really is very helpful to have in front of me. But there are several different pots. One, not referred to as public purpose, is the energy assistance.
Right.
Then there's the money that would go into the development account. Then there is money, this is again under Housing and Community Service, that's for weatherization and conservation activities by Oregon Housing and Community Services. Then there's a pot that goes to the nonprofit for conservation that the Department of Energy and PUC is involved with.
And is that, follow up, Mr. Chair?
Follow up, for representative.
That's the 3% additional charge that came from 1149 is for this public purposes that goes to the not-for-profit.
Well, that's not money that is administered by our department.
But, of course.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, and I can make copies of this, what I was just handed. The 3% biannual revenue projection for this 3% total is $115 million.
Okay.
Excuse me, $115 billion. education service districts get a 10% cut, and that's $11.5 million. Okay? Now we're going to get down to the next piece where you want to be. So
I want to come back up again so I can understand it. I can't follow you down the trail if I don't know where we've been. So try that one more time. There's $115 billion.
No. Million. Million or billion?
Million.
Million. $115 million.
Okay.
That's what's anticipated revenue for the biennial revenue projection of the 3%. There's one of the other amounts that are taken off of that in the 1149 bill is the education service districts, and they get 10%. So they get $11.5 million. So now you have $103.5 million of resources available that have not been allocated yet. Then the allocations are as follows. For low-income weatherization, the 13% of that is $13.455 million. There is a 5% of that balance that's taken for the housing trust fund. That's this growth account you're talking about. It's estimated to be $5.175 million.
Stop just for a second. When you say housing growth fund that you're talking about.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, they label it here as the housing trust account, but in the bill, I think in Mr. Olson's recommendations of LFO, he refers to it as the Housing Development and Growth Guarantee Account. So,
that's
the technical name is. That's the legal name.
Okay.
All right. So forget the word trust fund and substitute the guarantee account would be the Housing Guarantee Account. I guess that 5%, which is at 5.175. And then there is a 63% allocation of those funds that go to cost-effective conservation and new market transformation.
And that's the money that is administered by the 501c3 freestanding. So it's 63% of the remainder. Let me do it backwards. $115 million to start out with. ESDs get 10% of that. That leaves 103. That 103 is divided into three pots.
Oh, actually, four, but go ahead. There's one more. I haven't gotten to the fourth one.
Oh, sorry. Give me the fourth one.
then the balance.
Put enough money in the ledger.
The balance, or the fourth percentage, or is 19%, is above market cost for new renewable resource energy resources, and that's $19.66 million anticipated. So when you take all three of those allocations, they equal 100% and equal the total of $103.5 million, which is 100%.
Representative Ringo's recognized.
Thank you. So, okay, of those four categories that you just described, which one will go to backfill?
I think, Mr. Chairman, Representative Ringo, the 5% account would be the one that
the housing trust account
is the one that Mr. Olson is recommending to do the exchange with the general fund.
One more.
Follow up, Representative Ringo.
I'm sure we discussed this for hours, but could you exactly where? How are those funds used right now?
Currently,
yeah.
The growth account. Currently, the growth account comes to us in two fashions. One is currently in the past in this current budget, we receive general funds monies. That was $4.7 million, I think, for this year. We also have the trust account that was set up back in the 80s, early 90s, that has $15.5 million in it. That gains, as I like to refer, passbook interest, but it does gain interest, and that spins off about $1.6 to $1.2 million that's joined with that general fund allocation, and then that is spent as our trust account appropriations for projects that are coming to us that it is received as a grant. Statute-wise, they are eligible up to $300,000. Our cap has been historically only $100,000. So,
but those are grants for housing projects.
So they couple that money along with other proceeds that they'll get from us: Oregon tax credits, home dollars, help dollars, federal tax credits. That'll just be part of the cash stream that will pay for the product at the end of the day.
But the product, low-income housing.
Yes, affordable housing. It is really the. To quantify it, it is the first money in. It's the money that many of the nonprofits need to have so they can hire their engineers, so they can hire to get their design work done, as opposed to they're not cash. They don't have $100,000 sitting around just to go ahead and start one of these projects.
This would be like CAS or Community Action Team?
Yes. CDCs, any applicant like that.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair?
Yes, follow up, Representative Johnson.
To go back to my original question to LFO after this very useful explanation, and I appreciate your patience dragging us through this, we are looking at money that is not under the purview of the 501, that we would not have to have any kind of relationship with their board to make sure we were not at cross purposes with them. This is money out of one of these other pools that's being exchanged for. Thank you.
Let me just say this, as I've looked at this recommendation as well, 020 backs out a portion of that energy deregulation special payment that was received through the emergency board process, and then 160 puts back in energy deregulation money down below. So this basically replaces it in part. Well, replaces it that which was allocated by the emergency board.
But did that come through the emergency board?
Yes.
Okay. And then the 23,669,675 will come in as other funds under the energy deregulation special purpose, public purpose charge for low-income weatherization and housing grants. And that's where you'll see that restored there.
Mr. Chair, there are two separate packages here that deal with the energy deregulation monies. 090 is one of them here. And what was laying here?
Okay. So the back out in 020 and 090, and then the replacement of that energy deregulation 160. Copy of that. So we've got this. I'll share copies of that little schematic, and I know that it's pretty brief in its format.
No, that was very helpful because I think I hadn't read the statute until just now, and I think that we have fallen into the trap of using that public purposes to describe something that's much more homogeneous than it really actually is. So that this was very useful.
Thank you very much. Let's see, Rick, you were on 09.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Continuing on, again, that would back out that general fund money, put it in a special purpose appropriation emergency fund. You have language here for an amendment to the bill so that that would add a section to the budget bill to 5526 with this language. This package also backs out $266,840 of other funds. That was intended for the Albina program. That's a program that is funded through the Department of Human Services, and then in turn, the money given to the Housing and Community Services Department. That is not part of the governor's recommended budget in the Department of Human Services, nor is it approved in the DHS budget. It is on an add-back list, however, and if funding for that program is restored, we would need to come back and revisit that this issue with the Housing and Community Services Department. But for the purposes of this recommendation, it's not included in that amount right now.
Where had those funds, the other funds, originally come from?
Department of Human Services.
Okay. Thank you.
So LFO is recommending that in package 090 that a reduction of $4,791,587 general fund, $1,736,835 other funds, and approval of the language for the amendment is printed on the memo there.
Special purpose appropriation and emergency fund, Senate Bill 1149, if available, be used to replace these funds.
Okay. Also, Mr. Chair and members, that special purpose appropriation would expire on November 1st, 2002. So, if the HC does not come back to the board prior to that, if the energy deregulation monies materialize, then those funds would revert to the emergency fund.
The passage now moves package 090. As explained, are there any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Ringel is recognized.
Far be it from me to, obstruct the ordained solution to all of our budgeting here. but I really don't like this idea of taking some of the 1149 money that was part of the bargain for going down the dereg path to begin with, and use that money to support existing housing programs. Frankly, I would prefer to see additional funds go to housing rather than funds taken out and backfilled. I mean, we have incredible need for housing in this state, and I am going to vote no on package 090. And again, I understand the arrangements that have been decided, but I want to register my opposition to 090.
Thank you. Other discussion relative to 090?
So, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So, if the deregulation is delayed, then this whole package is held up.
Then general funds are put into the special purpose appropriation within the emergency board, and the housing authority can come and pick those funds back up for the specific intended purpose of the program. Is that correct, Chris? Is that,
Mr. Chair,
I understand correct.
That's correct. Senator Yee, that's exactly what that was put there for, special purpose appropriation. So that if those monies don't come about, they can come back to the emergency board and request these funds be released.
Those general funds.
Yes.
So do we follow up?
Follow up,
so
Senator.
So do we have general funds appropriated to the emergency board for the purpose?
Mr. Chair, Senator, yes, this is a special purpose appropriation, as you can read in the language here, in the amount of $3,391,587 for allocation only to Housing and Community Services Department for the Housing Development and Guarantee account. So it's in the emergency fund until November 1st, 2002 for the Housing and Community Services Department only. And if the energy deregulation money does not materialize, then they could come back and ask for this money to be allocated.
And another question. So if
yes,
it materializes, then the general fund reverts to ending balance?
Mr. Chair, Senator, it reverts to the emergency fund.
Oh, to be used for other purposes.
Other purposes or the ending balance.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Ms. Refine.
Just as a comment, so I can get it on the record at least. I understand what you're trying to accomplish. A couple things that the committee should be aware of. One is that the budget that's in front of you, as prepared by the governor's office, actually was anticipating moving from the $4.7 or $4.8 million that was in the current biennium's budget. We had suggested to move that down to the 3.4 number and take the 1.4 difference and offer it up for that homeless shelter program, because we believe that that has been severely underfunded for the last 10 or 12 years. And so that was, and we did that with the understanding that we could afford doing that, knowing that there was going to be the power dereg dollars coming in through the growth account. So we felt, well, that's one way to create this balance by giving up some general fund resource to another program that hadn't been funded, because we knew we were going to have these dereg dollars coming in. Effectively, what you're doing is what, as Representative Ringo suggests, is that you've just backed everything out and taken that. Now, in doing that, there's a couple things that happened that you need to be aware of. One is we get that money goes into our growth account in one lump sum. We use that, we generate income, interest of that, almost $300,000 that goes into adding on to the money that we parlay out to our partners, so that'll be gone. It will, nobody's asked me yet, but I guess I'll just put it on the table. Will it have an effect? Yes, it will have an effect. How it will affect us, I can't clearly tell you. Again, I think the most caution that I would give you is that people who try to do housing in all portions of Oregon, particularly our smaller nonprofit organizations, this becomes the catalyst to be able to accomplish their task. If that trust dollar is either reduced or minimized to a greater degree, then the likelihood of their projects going ahead becomes less likely over time. So that dollar, those dollars have been appropriate for 10 years that I know of, have been very instrumental in the success of the program that has leveraged the state of Oregon near $19 to one using the trust account to get those programs off the setting point and moving into a productive point in the communities. And then the other piece is that we use the growth account money to leverage the home federal dollars, and we get $4 of their dollars for every $1 of that money that we put in, that's leveraged using that account. So there will be some kind of consequences from that also.
Further discussion relative to package 090. We'll just go ahead and hold on 090 for the present time and move on to 110. The motion by Representative Patrick.
I withdraw the motion.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, package 110 again is the Housing Development Homeless Assistance Program. We just discussed the $1.4 million of general fund that was reduced or would be reduced in 090, would be added in package 110 for the Homeless Assistance Program through the Emergency Housing Account. This package also includes some more of the energy deregulation money. The LFO recommendation was, again, to use that energy deregulation money to replace the general fund money in package 090. Plus, there was a small adjustment for the PERS rate in that.
Okay, and so that's replacing.
It has a relationship with package 090 as well.
Okay. So that restores that restores $7.8 million. Was that that in the...
Well, Mr. Chair, I ought to explain this further. That $6.4 million that you see there, other funds, that actually is counting that $1.4 million general fund. That general fund is transferred in to the emergency housing account, and then that is spent out as other funds. So the actual increase in dollars is only approximately $5 million.
Okay. So there really is that general fund that we would have voted on in 090, the reduction, is being replaced in 110.
Used to replace in 110, that's correct.
Okay, and then the $6.4 million, which is being added in 110, which is in part energy deregulation money.
Correct.
That's new money.
Correct.
And when we had $3,391,000 before, that was generating nearly $300,000 in income during the biennium, which was used for the good purposes that the director had indicated. Now we've got $6 million, which should generate something in the vicinity of $600,000 of additional money.
You said four times.
And using that for these others, I guess I'm looking at that, and we're adding back in this energy deregulation more money than what we would have been backing out in 090.
Mr. Chairman, you've lost me.
Okay, all right. Let me go back. Let me go back.
More on the blackboard.
Yeah, all right. Let me go back, Director. One of the things that you said was that by not transferring in the $3,391,587 right now, by leaving it in effect in the special purpose appropriation emergency fund, that you were going to lose in interest of almost $300,000, which you used for the purposes of other leveraging that money. We're now going to go ahead and use other funds to support that through the $6,410,000. Will there be interest earned off of that money?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, there is interest.
What are you going to do with that interest?
My assumption and my finance officer can answer that. But this program is for a homeless assistance program, so I'm assuming that would roll into the homeless assistance and emergency housing account, not the growth account.
Okay, so there will be interest earned off of that, and that's new interest. Because this is new money that you haven't had before.
Again, Mr. Chairman, you're correct. It's new money that will be going to an account dealing with the homeless assistance programs, which is distinctively different than the account that's funded by the growth account.
Representative Johnson?
So we're beefing up the homeless assistance account rather substantially. We're beefing it up by $5 million.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Rick Crager, Chief Financial Officer for the Department. I just want to clarify. Let's talk about that $6.4 million that we're looking at there. There's two parts to that. First part is $1,469,000. If you look up above at your 090 package, essentially what you're doing is you're backing out of the Housing Development Guarantee account. Then what you're doing in package 110 is you're adding to the homeless account. So effectively what you get is $1,400,000 in general fund and $1,469,995 in other funds. So it's, you take out one package, you put back another. That's the homeless portion. Okay?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
You're only gaining the $1,469,000.
That's you're gaining.
You're getting $2.8 million.
Yes,
no.
It's $1.4 million in general fund that's being
right.
Put in the account and expended as other funds. So you're getting $1.4 million plus the interest that's generated on that of about $69,000.
Right. And Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, the way it works is in terms of our statutory authority, the money is general fund. It's expended. It's accounted for. It's spent out of the general fund, put into the other funds where it can make interest. And in that case, that $1.4 is spent out of the general fund, goes into other funds, earns interest of $69,000, and then you can use $1.469 for homeless assistance.
Okay.
Now, there's a second piece to this, still, again, concentrating on the $6.4 million. Take out the $1,469,000, which you say is homeless assistance.
Out of the $6.4.
Yes. Then you come up with, and it's actually $4.917 $7,250, I believe, is the exact number. But what that money represents is the conversation we were having before with the housing development guarantee, the 5% that we were talking about earlier. In that case, Director Repine talked about $5,175,000. That's the revenue portion, the 5%. What we do in terms of budgeting, not having any experience with this, we say, okay, let's put our expenditure limitation at 95% of that. That just gives us a little bit more security blanket. If the money does actually come in, of course, we would come to emergency board approval for additional expenditure limitations. So that 6.4 represents two pieces, the homeless assistance and the energy dereg that would be used for the housing development guarantee account.
And then if I followed you correctly, this does not then represent an increase in the homeless.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, it does represent an increase into the homeless assistance accounts. Once again, go back to your package 090. What you're doing is you're backing out $1.4 million out of housing development guarantee account.
And that's the money that would get backfilled by the 1149. And the 1.4 then goes down into the homeless account.
That's correct.
Thank you. I'm sorry I've made this so painful.
And then the $4.96 million you're talking about, which is the net, goes into the housing development. Is that right?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, can you say that again?
So the 4.96, I believe you said.
Yes.
Goes to the net, which is the net, goes to the housing development under package 110.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay. All right. Senator Yee?
So what is the sum total we back out from general fund?
Mr. Chair, the sum total that you'll end up backing out is $3.3 million of general fund. That's really what, as committee staff Olson has mentioned, that's the money that would be backed out of general fund and put in a special e-board fund. And if I'm following correctly, we would be, if the energy dereg, the 4.9, which is in package 110, did not come in, then we would have the authority, or the ability, I should say, to come back to you in the e-board and ask for that additional, or some of that 3.3 that you took out. Is that, Rick, is that correct?
That's correct.
So,
Mr.
Chairman, how much do we take out of the public surplus fund from deregulation?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, the piece of it that's going into the housing development fund is $4.9 million.
Can you
just show 0.9 down here.
Is what we take out of the public surplus fund from deregulation.
Correct.
But we're only backing out $3.39 million general fund.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, that's because that is the total amount that was in the governor's recommended budget for the housing development program, was the $3.391 million.
So where is the $1.4 million that was in? I thought we would be backing out the same amount we take from public
surplus. Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, we can't replace that because there's not that much general fund there in the housing development account to replace. We're suggesting that you back out this $3,391,000 because that is the amount that is in the governor's recommended budget general fund going into the housing development account.
1.4 million from the housing development homeless account. What money is that?
That, Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, that is coming out of the housing development account, going into the homeless assistance program.
So
coming out of here, going in down here to the homeless assistance program.
Oh, it's still there.
It's still there. Oh, yeah.
And
it's just changing uses, if you will, from housing uses to homeless assistance uses down here.
Oh, so what we back out is 3.29 to get the general fund.
And correct, and replace that with the energy deregulation money, the 4.9.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and so that the program would remain intact with the deregulation monies, basically, is with the exception of any interest earned, the Director Epine has indicated they could earn as much as $300,000 in interest, and then the leveraging that's done with in that interim on that account. However, I think the amounts that were originally anticipated under Senate Bill 1149 were much less than the amounts that are now anticipated under 1149 as well. I think we have some information that indicates that's about double the amount. So this could be substantially enhanced.
And any interest you're talking about would be predicated on when
the
dereg money. Dereg is delayed. The interest would be less than accumulated, and then if it was a bird in the hand right now.
Right. Right. Okay. Representative Patridge?
I just want to clarify. One's housing and one's homeless. And the housing is used for what compared to the homeless? Can we just have a quick definition on the two, Bob?
The housing account is the money that's used as a funding mechanism through our consolidated funding cycle, where grants are awarded at $100,000 each to applicants as they come to us looking for resources to build housing. The homeless money is money that's distributed to our partners who have shelters and deal with the homeless. So around the state, there are organizations that deal with homeless people and homeless shelters. That money goes to them in a proportionate fashion. So they go to two different ways.
So the 1.4 goes to a housing program.
No, it
goes to
the homeless program.
Homeless program.
Joins up with the current resources that are already in the homeless program.
Representative Patrick.
So then my question is, what do we have in this budget as a net that's proposed, Rick? Are we having a net reduction in the amount of housing that we're going to develop as a result of this reduction?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patrick, if you take into consideration the energy deregulation money, there is an increase in the housing development guarantee account.
Mr. Chairman, relative to the governor's recommended budget, that's not correct, because we were anticipating, we were holding the 1149 aside as a resource that was already established. So this effectively is not giving us any more. We're actually, the governor's recommended budget is giving us $1.4 million less in the growth account than the current biennium. But by what Mr. Olson is saying, if you lift that general fund money and move the dereg money, and in that case, it's getting more than the general fund. But we were anticipating both of those things. So to be candid, it's less than what we were anticipating.
And we're anticipating just the amount of the original LFO discussion of the amounts of money that would be available under the original Los Angeles 1149.
Mr. Chairman, between the two accounts, we were anticipating $8.2 million. The proposal that's in front of you today will generate $4.9 million to us between those two accounts.
Are we limiting the amount of Senate Bill 1149 money that would come to you?
It's limited only because it's a percentage. And it's, I think the industry is the best approximate guess of what the resources will be over time. So to answer your question, if you were to say, well, how do you get up to the more the closer to what you had in the governor's proposed budget, you would have to see that number increase proportionally at three times to make up the $4 million difference. And I don't think that probably will happen.
Increasing the dereg money by four times?
Well, the amount that comes, we get a 5% of the allocation that drops down. So in order to increase the $4.9 million that we're going to get from the 8.2 that we thought we were going to get, you'd have to increase almost $3 million. So that means you'd almost have to at least double the total allocation of $103 million to get up to the additional $3 million. So I don't think that'll be
likely that that's going to happen.
I don't see what we're doing that would change the energy deregulation money at this particular point by putting together the special purpose appropriation for the emergency fund and anticipating that Senate Bill 1149 money is when they become available to replace those funds.
Mr. Chairman, again, 1149 was anticipated as resources that would be coming when the dereg bill was implemented. The governor's proposed budget took in consideration the reduction of what we were getting in the housing account, the growth account, from $4.7 million to what is in the governor's proposed budget, 3.3 or 3.4. But we were expecting the combination of the 3.3 or 3.4 along with the revenue that was going to come from 1149, which together would have totaled $8.2 million. What you've effectively done is by backing the general fund away and substituted using the energy dollars, the net amount of money we will get now is $4.9 million.
But by backing, when you say backing the general fund money away, really what we're doing is we're putting $3.39 million into the special purpose appropriation fund if those Senate Bill 1149 monies do not come in, if that amount does not come in. Isn't that correct?
You're putting them in there on this. I think you're putting them in there. We know that there's going to be something coming as long as the deregulation bill is not delayed or modified or tinkered with the session before it ends. We know that there's money that's going to be coming. I guess the question I would ask you is that if it's $4.9 million, if it's a dollar under it, does that mean we have access to those resources?
Let's see.
Because it's very specific. It says if the $4.9 million doesn't come in, we have access to the resource.
Draw me a picture.
In addition to a not in lieu of.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
I can't understand all the funding streams that go into the two accounts.
We'll draw it. We'll draw you a picture.
It's in the general fund.
You have two funds, right? So draw two boxes.
Two funds. You got HDGA, which is the Housing Development Guarantee account.
Right. Okay.
Okay, the housing. And then you also have the homeless.
Right with that?
Right.
Okay. So
that part I got.
$4.4 million going to that.
Out of what?
Out of the general fund.
So put GF.
General fund.
Okay.
And then we also have, now in the housing development account, we have 3.3 general fund.
Okay.
And we also have 4.9 other funds, which is energy dereg.
Okay.
8.2. This is our governor's budget. This is what we're proposing. What you're saying now is let's back this out, right? And equal zero. Let's keep this in and equal 4.9. Now, what you're also saying, which comes to you, basically, we have $4.9 million. So what you're saying is that if this doesn't come in, then we have rights, or we can come back to you and ask for this. That's
my understanding.
But let's just say it comes in. If it all comes in, this is all you got left.
Okay.
Now this stays the same. You're recommending this today, is what I hear you saying. So it's really, this reconciles. But you see, essentially what you're getting at, I believe Mr. Reeves is saying, is that you're losing $3.3 million in general fund. This was going to essentially go out and, how many units of housing?
At 8.2.
That's what the 8.2 was?
So well, that's got the 3.3 is about 900.
Well, okay. So you're losing 900 units of housing. I can't remember the exact amount, but this was like about 2,000 units
okay.
of housing.
So can I ask another question then, Mr. Chair?
I follow up, Representative Patrick.
So can you tell me then what you were going to do with all your, was the 4.9 the total amount of energy deregulation money you were going to get?
For the housing trust fund.
the energy dereg for the housing development guarantee.
There's the weatherization and the other stuff.
There's the other components to that, but let's focusing on the housing development guarantee. It was going to go to make an $8.2 million pot of housing development guarantee accounts to go out to serve as mystery plans well.
That's that 5% resource.
Mr. Krieger, will you add another column up there, the 9901? No, don't erase that. Just add another column off the side.
Yes.
There you go.
And again, where you're going with the 9901, you're probably wanting to say that this is now currently the 7.7 general fund.
And zero.
And this is zero.
And or zero in the
zero in terms of
dereg money also. And dereg.
Oh, yeah. Zero. And zero dereg.
So that we would be taking it from 9901 at a total of 4.7 general fund to 4.9 under this plus 1.4.
If you're comparing 9901 to the legislative, what you're proposing, yes.
And if the D-rate doesn't come through, we're back at 3.3.
Exactly.
Okay.
3.3 is now in emergency.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Krieger. Now is so in effect right now we are at zero general fund, or we're at zero and 9901.
That's correct. In terms of the add back, now there are other dollars if you want to get into that in terms of current service level.
Current.
We have $3 million of EHA money.
4.9
total, but that's
4.9 of EHA, 2.8
Okay. So there are other homeless. What this 1.4 was doing was increasing because, as you recall from our homeless report, the money that we were currently putting in was not being as effective as it could be, and that's what Mr. Repine was suggesting, is to put more money into homeless so that we can get more for our
homeless. Mr. Chair.
Representative Johnson is recognized.
What I'm trying to figure out, though, is that in this relentless hunt for general fund, we have now identified 3.3. What you're telling me is that would have translated into 900 units of housing, the 3.3.
Is that right?
So instead of the comb through of other budgets, and I would hold out for an example the Department of Corrections budget, where programs were being cut at the state prisons, and there was a pretty thorough comb through at the subcommittee level that identified some savings, and those programs were thereby restored. What we're in effect doing is taking $3.3 million of identifiable money that was going to build 900 units of housing, and we're offering it up as found money to the general fund. And the problem I have with that is that in this instance, we know with certainty that you, at least I'm presuming we're going to have you on the record saying with certainty that that money was going to be applied to build build housing units.
Correct. Yep. Mr. Chair?
Follow-up, Representative Ringel?
And just to make the point I made earlier, and part of the bargain of 1149, as I understand it, was that there would be additional resources for certain things, and we've discussed the pots of money. So one of those things was assistance for housing, which we definitely need. And that was part of the bargain of 1149. And given the scope of 3%, it's not a huge part of it. It's only 5%. But nevertheless, to that extent, we're defeating the bargain.
And
yes, follow-up, Representative.
And I'm headed in the direction, instead of found money out of surpluses that some of us first began to view your budget as containing, this isn't found money at all. This is offering up housing money in the name of finding general fund savings.
That would be correct.
I think that's nuts.
No, Mr. Chairman, just so and the committee members,
are you watching?
I don't want anybody to get the impression that $3.3 million will buy you 900 units.
Well, yeah, well, we got it on the record. $768 a piece.
And that's why I bring this up. I just want to make sure that people realize that's what we use that to leverage the other resources that create the 900 units.
Well, let's be absolutely clear then, because I don't want there to be any mistake about this. The 3.3 is used to leverage additional money, so our contribution of the 3.3 translates into approximately 900 units.
That's correct.
And were we to somehow go along with the, as my colleague from Beaverton characterizes it, the preordained solution, we are doing that at the sacrifice of 900 units.
Correct. Somewhere in the state.
And we do that by delaying the, and let's assume that Senate Bill 1149 does not come on board at all. We don't know at this particular point whether it will or not. We assume that it may, but if it doesn't come on board, then what's the effect of the 900 units, even if we leave the general fund intact without establishing the special purpose appropriation of the emergency fund?
Chairman, I lost you there a little bit. Sorry.
Well, if we did absolutely nothing, we would have the 900 additional units. If we did not go ahead and establish the special purpose appropriation of these general funds and the emergency fund, we would be guaranteed 900 additional units to the state, new built units, and that assumes that Senate Bill 1149 does not take effect. We'll have those in spite of 1149.
You will get, Mr. Chairman, 900 units for the $3.3 million that would be general fund allocations, and just roughly with the other 4.9, or you will get something like an additional 1,200 units.
And so by setting it up in the special purpose appropriation fund, then we don't get any of the 900 units. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, as long as that money is not appropriated.
Well, 1149 doesn't come into play. And remember,
if 1149 does not come into play and we come before the E-Board and request that 3.3, we will get those 900 units.
Okay. That's got to be abundantly clear. 1149 doesn't come into play. We still get the 900 units.
That's true, but then they don't have the 4.9 to do other things.
That's exactly right. Then they wouldn't have the 4.9
right.
to do the other kinds of things that they would like to do under the governor's recommendation.
Right. They don't get up to 8.2.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. As recommended by the governor.
Exactly. Yeah.
However, and I don't know at what point the 1149 funds will kick in and at what level they would kick in, but right now it's estimated that it might be double the amount that we had originally planned on, so the 3.9 could easily become the 8.2.
Thank God for high energy prices.
Oh, absolutely, yes, sir. Yeah, not. Representative Pappage.
I'm just trying to, the 4.9 is based, though, upon the 4.9 figure is based upon 15-20 million dollar figure, which was above the $60 million figure, which was forecast.
Okay, let's move on to 120. We're going to bypass 090 and 110.
Mr. Chair, package 120 is community-based in capacity building. Package provides other funds for the lead-based paint initiative in conjunction with the federal housing and urban development lead safe regulation. It also establishes a federal fund limitation for the community development block grant funds for home rehabilitation and improvements for the elderly and disabled population. And LFO is recommending approval of the package in the amount of $157,000 other funds and $5 million federal funds.
Representative Pappage.
Mr. Chair, I move package 120, $5,157,000 and one FTE.
I heard the recommendation. Any discussion regarding package 120, Senator Yee?
Is the $157,000 other funds part of the community development fund, or is it a matching fund?
Mr. Chair, Senator, you know it's not part of the Community Development Block Grant Fund. This is other funds that the agency has that they would use for the lead-based paint initiative.
I mean, where does it come from? where does the 157 come from?
The reserves,
yeah, it, Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, it comes from reserves and monies that are earned within the department. Interest.
Interest earning.
Mr. Chair, may I?
Yes,
Housing Finance Fund is essentially where it comes from. That is our mechanism in which, through our bonding programs, we're able to continue operations. Through our analysis, we felt, obviously, this was an important piece that we had to comply with according to federal mandates, and we felt it was appropriate to allocate some of those monies in the Housing Finance Fund.
Heard recommendation. Further discussion? Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, the ward is page 120, 140.
Actually,
130, I beg your pardon.
We'll go to package 130, which is the incentive fund. This is, again, continues the governor's livability initiative from 1999 by issuing lottery-backed bonds to rebuild downtowns and main streets, develop the housing near jobs and transportation, and rebuilding distressed communities. The amount of the bonding was reduced from the governor's recommended budget. I understand that bonding bill was approved this morning in a subcommittee, and so LFO is recommending the package be approved at $20,542,384
other funds. Chairman, just if I might, the bill was heard in the committee prior to this one. It did not move, though. They worked it, but did not finish it.
Representative
Patrick? Mr. Chair, I move package 130, the incentive fund, in the amount of $20,542,384.
You've heard the motion. Is there any discussion? Any no votes? Hearing and seeing none. Package 130, so ordered.
Package 140, statutory data gathering. This package is to maintain and continue to gather housing data and information concerning housing programs, state funding of programs, and other monitoring. LFO is recommending that this package not be approved. This is not a new program, and the agency has been doing this, and LFO is recommending not establishing the two additional FTE.
And where is the $162,000 other funds come from in the past?
Same as the previous other funds a couple of packages ago.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Director Refine.
Thank you. Relative to this, Mr. Olson is correct. This is a program that we do do our best with in the department today. Much of our discussion with members of this committee and other people is that to be successful in our business, the more data that you can collect about housing issues that are statewide, it makes the task of the partners who are creating that housing become more of a reality, as opposed to trying to find all this data that's located in a variety of different locations. What I would suggest to or let the committee be aware of is that we will continue working on this, but the goal of this was to try to accelerate this so we had something that would be greater value in a shorter period of time.
Representative Johnson?
Perhaps I'm oversimplifying this, but you give a lot of grants. It seems to me that you could condition your grants or your participation on providing you with data and in essence, force your partners to provide you with some of the material you need. I know it won't be comprehensive, but at least that's what I'm anticipating you'll respond to me with. But I'd certainly condition your grants with provision of ongoing data.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, you're correct. I mean, the data is... It would be because there's not a central process to be able to make sure it has come to us in the same fashion. And quite frankly, I think our partners believe that their task is difficult enough just doing the housing request that they're faced with, let alone worrying about some more data collection for us.
This just begs another question. How complex is this? What kind of data are you collecting?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, I think it's not so much it's where it's at and how do you go about finding it. We've done some comprehensive studies that requires you literally to have, if you're going to go in to find the value of housing and to challenge, example, HUD's income levels and housing costs in counties, you literally have to go into the assessor's office and go through page by page to get that information. That's the only way you can get that information out.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. So for $162,000, you're able to gather this kind of data?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, I think what we're, the idea was we'd have one person who could do this as a task without doing, you know, five other simultaneous tasks at the same time.
Do you condition your grants with any kind of reporting back?
Representative Johnson, Mr. Chair, yes, we do. There's a very complex list of reporting requirements that they have to deal with, which causes great angst with them already.
Is it the data that normally these people would be gathering?
Mr. Chairman, I would say some of it is, not all of it is. So much of the stuff that's coming in today is stuff that we're already compiling. It's those other pieces that are out there that don't get raised to the level that our partners would be looking at it.
My understanding that in order to have one of these federal housing applications within your county, you've got to gather countywide information. As long as you get at least one project in every county, and I'm sure there wouldn't be necessarily, then you should have countywide information available to input.
Mr. Chairman, I think on the surface that's a correct statement. I think in the reality, some of the data that is even get garnered by the counties is not a total reflection of the housing data that our partners are asking for us to gain for them.
Okay, Representative Castings moves package 140, approval of package 140.
We need a senator.
No. Okay. Oh. Let's move on to 150.
I just want to say I agree with what Representative Johnson said, that if we put it as a condition of the Sun Games, they need to report what kind of buildings they build, how many square footage in each building, what does it cost, so we know what does it cost per square foot. I mean, those are information we need, and it should be pretty simple to put it as condition of the funding.
I think
rather than hire somebody to collect them. If you hire somebody to collect, they have to go through so many levels. But if you gather it from the very bottom level and report it in, so they monitor themselves and the agency can monitor their performance, it's much easier if every level collects their information and report to the central administration rather than from administration to try to gather the information. So I would not support the hiring.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair?
They're doing it already.
Ms. Rana?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. In October of 2001, we have a federal mandate on the services side, and one of these positions is for service data gathering. We have six national goals that our partners will begin to report on, and that includes any number of hundreds and hundreds of outcomes to achieve those six national goals. And I do have the New York report, which is what we will be required to gather starting October 1st, and I really envisioned this position in Community Resources Division being the person who would be responsible for getting this kind of report to the legislature. And with your permission, I would like to pass it around, and you can see the extent of we are gathering the pieces that we'll need to be able to get to the kind of outcomes that we'll report to the legislature. But currently, we just do not have the mechanism.
Gave us this information, Mr. Chairman.
Follow up.
You gave us this information already from previous hearings. So why do you want to hire somebody to do what? Summarize it?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, that is correct. We did get it through you, but it took our nonprofits in the field for every question that we asked them could translate into 40 to 60 man hours to produce that information back. It's not readily available. So there was a lot of digging, a lot of time, and therefore a lot of time spent away from the ability to provide direct service to get the information. This would be an administrative assistant level position that would be solely responsible for not only gathering the data, but being able to get it into valuable reports that would help our partners prioritize their budgets. Right, the outcome based as opposed to the output. In other words, we can tell you how many are served, but we can't tell you how many have had their lives truly improved.
But I think if you put it as a condition of funding, they would collect them as they go along and not necessarily spend a certain amount of time to gather it. As they gather them, as they do the work, it shouldn't be very difficult.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Yee, I think there's two issues here. One is, I think, on the housing side, when we're talking about units and square footage, as you alluded to earlier, that probably is not a difficult task. What Ms. Arana is talking about is the service side, which is a whole complex other side of our business. And now, because of the federal requirements, what you have in front of you in that book is something that we've never even done. So even the information that we have given to you relative to some of our service stuff issues, we don't know whether or not it would suffice or be accepted by the federal government because of these new stringent standards that they have.
Rick, do you want to respond to that?
Mr. Chair, I don't know what else I can say. We all fully stand by the recommendation.
Thank you very much. Representative Patrick?
I move package 140 at this point.
Representative Patrick moves package 140. Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, for package 150.
Mr. Chair? Instead of great concern.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
So instead of getting the co-chair come in and vote, I'll just...
What we approved was not to hire them.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Not to hire.
You won, Senator.
Yeah.
You owe us one.
But he said he stands by his recommendation.
Right.
It's a no. Okay. I'm sorry. I wasted the time.
No, you
didn't.
Everything passed. We saw where you were going. He said, I want to move it. Let's go. We're on the same side. Mm-hmm.
Package 150, Community Services Commission. This package moves the Oregon Community Services Commission to the Housing and Community Services Department from the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. This package is dependent upon the passage of House Bill 2265. The LFO recommendation is that the committee approve the package but request the Department of Administrative Services unschedule the funds pending the passage of House Bill 2265.
You've heard the recommendation. Representative Patrick moves the recommendation on package 150.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question? Is 2265 in your possession?
It's in the Ways and Means Committee.
Further discussion? Representative Johnson.
Is it in the Ways and Means Committee and assigned to somewhere?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, as of last night, it had not been assigned yet.
Okay. So we've got, and if it doesn't, there's a condition upon it passing, so we would have to come back and address it if it doesn't. So, and
Mr. Chair, our recommendation is that the DAS unschedule that money, so if it doesn't pass,
right.
The limitation's not there.
Representative Patridge?
Mr. Chair, I'd move package 150 in the amount of $5,073,322, 3.5 FTE. With the condition that it's dependent on the package of House Bill 2265 and recommend that DAS unschedule that amount. Is that correct, Mr. Olson?
You've heard the motion. Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, forward. Okay, package 160, Mr. Dreg.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members, again, we're back to the Energy Deregulation Bill. This is the portion of the Energy Deregulation that goes for low-income electric bill payment assistance and low-income weatherization. Was some adjustments made for the PERS rate adjustment. The Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending approving the package in the amount of $23,669,376 other funds, $93,393 federal funds, and again requesting the Department of Administrative Service unschedule the other funds limitation pending the outcome of the energy deregulation issue that's before this legislative assembly.
Representative
Patridge? Mr. Chair, I move package 160 energy deregulation, the amount of $23,762,769 with 3 FTE. And I'd just like to ask a real quick question.
Mm-hmm.
What was the amount last time that was available for weatherization and low-income energy assistance?
Just so you have an idea.
bill payment assistance charge?
No, he's looking for the weatherization.
Weatherization.
There was none for energy dereg, but I think he's wondering in terms of...
The total amount.
No.
99.01.
For federal?
No, overall.
For BPA?
We'll get back to you in a second.
We'll get back to you in a second.
I just wanted to highlight how much...
How much increase this actually represents.
That is a $13 million increase.
Yeah, we're looking...
If you want to know what we have from other sources in our...
That's just a 13, that's fine, all right, I don't, I just want to highlight.
Representative Patridge now moves to package 160, with the unscheduling of the other funds pending the deregulation issue, as recommended by Legislative Fiscal Office. Is there any further discussion, any objections?
Mr. Chairman, does it go to emergency board?
No, it does not. It would just be unscheduled pending the, this package would be unscheduled pending the outcome of energy deregulation. Hearing and seeing no further objections, so ordered.
Package 170 is the Federal Housing Urban Development Monitoring of Section 8 Housing. The Housing and Community Services Department has the contract with the federal government to monitor Section 8 housing. The emergency board approved limitation and established limited duration positions during the 9901 interim. For this purpose, LFO is recommending approval of a limitation of $1,367,299 other funds, and also recommend that those positions continue as limited duration.
Any discussion? Representative Johnson recognized.
Is this a contract with the federal government to do this work? Is the assumption implicit that you'll do this, that you're uniquely situated to do that, to execute this contract?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, there was a change. The HUD is kind of divesting itself of these type of contract work because they have effectively not done it for, I mean, they're supposed to be doing it, but they haven't been doing it, so they've assigned it to states, organizations like ourselves. So the assumption is that this will be a long-term standing contract with the federal government. So that's why we had asked for permanent positions as opposed to limited durations at this time.
Are you paid by the feds to collect this?
Yes, we are.
Is it a break even, or do you?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, it's designed to be a break even, but if we do our work wise and we do it well, there's actually an incentive for us. And so far, for our quarterly reportings that we do for the federal government, we have been able to access the extra 2% bonus. That may not be the case always, but so far in the initial stages, it has been. We have been able to do it within the budget constraints and got a 2% bonus on top.
Congratulations, that's great.
Excuse me, 1% bonus.
Half a congratulations.
Mr. Chairman, just another comment if I can. Sorry to keep delaying you. Again, just from a logistics and management standpoint, what happens with not making these as full-time positions? We play musical chairs with people. When there's somebody leaving a full-time position in another job relative to this, then that person moves out of that position. We're always cycling people around because they want to be in permanent positions, not limited duration positions.
Cross-training opportunities.
Absolutely. And again, I assume that if it continues on and the federal government is... continues into the next biennium with us, that you can come back and ask for permanent positions at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Kathy?
Sure.
11.58 FTE.
Mr. Chair, I move package 170, the HUD monitoring, in the amount of $1,367,299 with 11.58 FTE.
No, the limited duration?
No, those are permanent positions.
LFO is limited.
Limited.
I was arguing for
this limited duration.
They're currently limited.
Your recommendation?
I just wondered, can Rick explain why? I mean, I know this is, they're doing this nationally all across the country, so.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, I believe this came about a year ago. About April, I think, of last year, with a five-year contract, if I understand right. It's a series of one-year contracts for a period of 5 years.
Right.
and still relatively new, and the feeling was let's do it for another biennium, and then if it continues on, we can revisit the issue next session.
Mr. Chairman, just the only comment is the ability to hire the staff that we need to conduct the business we believe we're supposed to be conducting. There comes a point where you've got it. We go for the limited duration, trying to establish the permanent position. Since it is funded through other sources, it really makes for better continuity, a better hiring opportunities for us.
It's been ongoing since April of 2000.
Yes.
So we've just had 1 year experience at this point.
Right.
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendation. I'll move the limited duration.
You've heard the recommendation. Any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so order.
Package 180 is the office relocation. The department is anticipating moving their offices to a new location during the 0103 biennium. This package provides the limitation, the funding for that purpose. LFO is recommending that the package be approved at $1,601,600 other funds, and again request the Department of Administrative Services unschedule those funds pending the completion of the new building and the actual move-in date.
You've heard the recommendation relative to package 180 and the unscheduling with DAS. Representative Patridge moves package 180. In the amount of $1,601,600. Any further discussion? Any objection? Senator Yee.
When do you anticipate the building to be completed?
Late 2001 or early 2002?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Yee, it has gone through a whole series of whenever it was going to be built. I think the last time we heard it will be available somewhere in this time of the month in '03. So as Sine Dye is upon us, we'll be packing our bags, moving over to the building. Okay?
2 years.
2 years.
Further discussion, Representative Johnson?
Does DAS help you in the process of identifying the building and whether or not it's suitable to your needs?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, actually this is a building that DAS has been working on since last session. It's the north on the north end of the mall, right behind the employment division. North of the employment division, west of the state lands building. It's a three pod structure that will eventually house housing community services, the water department, water resource department, and the parks department.
Just aware of some other state agencies that went out on their own to find buildings that have proven to be absolute disasters, and I was looking for the reassurance that
we've, Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, our relationship with DAS and other space allocation needs, they're right there at the table with us, making sure that we're not going to stumble into something that's not appropriate for us.
Thank you. Any further discussion relative to package 180?
Mr. Chair, I just want to make sure this is being unscheduled, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And seeing no further discussion and seeing no votes, approve package 180. 950.
Package 950, debt service. This package establishes limitations for lottery-backed bonds that was addressed in package 130. Again, this amount was reduced due to the lower amount of the bond that will be issued. LFO recommends and approves the package at $1,338,081 lottery funds.
Representative Patridge.
Mr. Chair, I move package 950 in the amount of $1,338,081 for debt service.
Any discussion? Seeing no votes. Hearing seeing none, so ordered. Package 950, package 300.
Package 300 is the reduction of out-of-state travel that has been requested that all agencies take. This is a 1% reduction. LFO recommends you approve the reduction of $68 general fund, $1,030 other funds, and $315 federal funds.
That means that there's out-of-state travel of a total of about $141,300.
That's correct.
Representative Patridge.
Mr. Chair, I move the Doug Farno package 300. This is the 1% travel reduction amount of $1,413.
Of which every agency has suffered the reduction.
Any discussion? Hearing and seeing none, any no votes? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered, package 300.
That's a few.
Right. Okay. And that that leaves us still under discussion, package 090 and package 110. With that, we will go ahead and close the public hearing on, or close the work session.
Mr. Chairman, can we just get a clarification? My staff was wondering in the hubbub of it all. When we get back to package 140, was the motion by Representative Patridge to nick the LFO recommendation not to approve the package?
Yeah.
Not to.
Not
to. Okay, so not to. They didn't hear that not part.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
To approve legislative recommendation.
I would approve the legislative fiscal office's recommendation on package 140.
Okay. With that, we will go ahead and close the work session on Senate Bill 5526. And we'll carry that over, and we'll work on the two packages which are still open, 090 and 110. And we'll plan to go ahead and work those packages on Monday. And so this we'll carry this session over to Monday at 1 o'clock, or well, let's see, we'd be on a 10 o'clock schedule at this point.
Correct.
So with that, we'll close the work session, Senate Bill 5526, and move it over until Monday. Thank you very much.
Moving